So we'll pick it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Just let me pray, and then we'll have a look at our passage. Father God, thank you for your Spirit, and thank you that you have inspired these two passages to be written. Thank you for the way the Christian life gets compared with a race. This is something that we all continually need to remember, so please help us to meditate on your word and understand your word, and Father, then be shaped by your word. And we pray it through Jesus' name. Amen. Before we jump into our text, let me tell you a little bit about the ancient Olympic Games. We know about the modern Olympic Games, but the ancient Olympic Games that were held in Greece for a little over 1,200 years, from 776 through to 393 AD. They were held every 4 years like they are today, and athletes would travel from all over Greece to compete in a whole range of events. One thing that was interesting was that there was actually a truce called, and so all hostile conflict, all cities that were at war with one another and regions, they actually called a truce so that athletes could travel to the games without being kidnapped or killed. And so the Olympic Games were a respected part of the culture, and they really united the country together. And so everyone would pause when this took place. Huge crowds would gather as the best of the best came together to compete in a range of things. There was discus, there was boxing, there was wrestling, there were foot races, there were chariot races, a whole range of events. The best of the best came together to really fight it out for that prize. And the prize wasn't that wonderful, really. There was a lot of honour, obviously, but the prize was normally just a laurel wreath. So it wasn't amazingly valuable in terms of monetary value, but there was honour to be won in competing at these events. So if you're an athlete, you worked hard, you trained hard, but you weren't particularly well off. Nike wasn't sponsoring back then, Pepsi wasn't sponsoring. If you're an athlete, it was hard yakka, and you were doing it all for a laurel wreath. Nonetheless, the best of the best would gather, and they would fight it out to win that wreath. And so this is part of the culture. And Paul knows this. He's a good missionary. And he says, I want you to understand that the Christian life is a bit like being an Olympic athlete. And he tells Christians that we should be spiritual athletes. We should be disciplining ourselves and training ourselves. We should be improving ourselves because we're so focused on that prize, and we want to win. And so we're going to look at this analogy this morning, think it through. Three headings, and the first is simply, there is a race to be run. It's pretty easy to forget sometimes, isn't it? We wake up, we go to work, we come home again, we do our thing. Yeah, we might be Christians, but we forget that we're actually meant to be running hard in a race. Paul says there's a race to be run. Look at verse 24. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. He's not writing to an elite class of Christians. He's not writing to the Christian SAS. He's just writing to the regular Christians in Corinth. He's writing to the regular Christians here. He's saying, you should be spiritual athletes. And he says something pretty obvious, doesn't he? He says, only one person can be the winner. Today we've got a couple of consolation prizes, silver, bronze. But really there's only one clear winner in any race. And Paul says, I want you to live each day running this race as though you were determined to win and come in first place. He's not saying heaven's going to fit one Christian in and you better hope it's you, so run hard. I'm not saying that. He's just saying act and live and walk and run as though there's only one prize and you desperately want to get it. Of course, all Christians receive the prize, don't they? All Christians receive eternal life. But he says, run as though there's only one prize. It's not just a race to be run, there's a race to be won. And just like an athlete, we know they give it everything they've got. We'll think that through a bit more in a minute. But Paul's saying, Christian, you need to give it everything you've got to run this race. So just think for a minute about your own life. Do you reckon your Christian life looks more like a race that you're trying to win and you're improving, you're pushing yourself? Or do you reckon it looks more like a Sunday afternoon stroll? And you're kind of looking at the scenery as you go past and you're doing your thing, but you're not really pushing yourself. You're not really competing. Does it look more like a race or more like a Sunday afternoon stroll? Paul says it's got to look like a race, doesn't he? Let's think about that analogy. What kind of race is he talking about here? Is it a sprint or is it a marathon? I think our reading in Hebrews helps a little bit. The writer of Hebrews, I believe probably Paul, says, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. He doesn't say, get out there and sprint, sprint, sprint. He says, no, run with endurance the race that's set before us. That's because for most of us, it's a pretty long race. The thief on the cross, he had a pretty short race. But for most of us, this race is long. It more closely resembles a marathon. It's long. It's hard yakka. And Paul's saying, you got to keep on keeping on day in, day out. Now, we don't run alone, do we? And because we don't run alone, we're meant to run together with other Christians. Perhaps we should think of this as a marathon that's not out on a track and some people are 5Ks in front and out of sight. Maybe it's better to imagine a marathon where you're in an arena and you're going round and round a circuit. And so all the runners are kind of close together, but some might be 10 laps in front of someone else and some might be a little further behind. And so if you're a mature Christian, you've been saved for a long time, you might be a lot of laps in front of someone else, but you're still on the same track. You're still running with them. And you might be a new Christian. You've only got a few laps under your belt, but you're still running this marathon with other believers around you. And we're meant to race together. And so if one of us trips over, we're meant to have someone there to pull us back up. If one of us slows down saying, it's too hard, we're meant to say, come on, keep going and spur one another on. It's a blessing to run this race together. Now that said, if we're faithful to the text, we still need to remember that we're actually trying to run as though we're trying to win. This doesn't mean elbowing other Christians out of the way or tripping them over so that we can get ahead. Not at all. But there is a sense in which we should be trying to move ahead of the pack in our Christian walk. We're not in a cycling race. We're not sitting in someone else's slipstream going, this is cool, they can do all the work and we're going to ride behind them in their slipstream. Not at all. We should be pushing ourselves to run hard and run well. Now, Jesus, he's run up before us, hasn't he? He broke the world record. We're not going to get close to him, but our goal should not be to run with the pack. Our goal should be to run hard after Jesus. He set the world record. We want to get as close to that as we can. We're not going to make it, but we want to get as close to that as we can. And so we shouldn't content ourselves with running with the pack. We should be trying to pull closer to Jesus. The pack's not our benchmark. Jesus is our benchmark. And it's kind of easy sometimes, I think, to look around at other Christians and we pick someone and we think, they're going okay in the Christian life. And yeah, their prayer life might not be what it should be, and they should probably read their Bible a bit more, and maybe they're a little bit more worldly than they should be, but they're a good middle-of-the-road Christian. I'm going to run with them. That's good for me. It's not what Paul's exhorting us to do, though, is it? He's saying there's a race to be run. Run hard as though there's one prize. Push yourself. Push yourself. Don't be content with running with the pack. My running career was as unspectacular as it was short. In 1985, I was in grade 3, and I actually made it to the district cross country. I think I came about 15th there, so not real good, but I did make it to the district cross country. And to get into the district, you had to come in the top 5 in your local school. And I remember that race well. I was in third place, finish line was approaching, and I was pretty weary. But I remember thinking, I've actually got a little bit more in the tank. I reckon I can push myself and I can come first. But before my brain told my legs to accelerate, I had another thought which said, you've actually already made it to the district. You're in. You don't need to push yourself any harder. And so I backed it off a little bit, just held my pace and happily came in third place. And I was happy with that until we kind of stood there getting our ribbons, and then I kind of kicked myself as the guy got first place. I thought, I probably could have got that if I'd pushed myself a little bit harder. And I think we do this in the Christian life sometimes, don't we? We're running along, we're a little bit weary, we're tired, and we think, I could push myself a little bit more. I could run a better Christian race. But hey, through the blood of Jesus, I've already made district. I've already got a ticket to heaven. I'm in. And so instead of spiritually notching it up a gear, we just hold our pace, and we satisfy ourselves with, that'll be good enough. Paul says, don't think that way. If you're a Christian, you're an athlete, and you are running to win. There's a race to be won. There's also a cost to be paid, though, isn't there? If you want to run fast, if you want to run well, it's going to cost you an awful lot. Look at verse 25 with me. It says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. So an athlete cannot do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. All sorts of things have to be sacrificed, have to be paid in order for them to run this race really well. Certain foods get sacrificed, certain hobbies get sacrificed. Extra time in bed gets sacrificed, all so they can run well. Self-control in the life of an athlete, it's a costly thing. And there's a lot to this, but two aspects of this self-control are found over in Hebrews, in our parallel passage. Flick over to verse 1 there with me. It says there, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. So one aspect of self-control in a Christian athlete's life is continually putting off sin that is clinging closely to us. Just like an athlete, they willingly forego the passing pleasure of high-fat food and sugary food. Paul's saying, Christian, if Paul wrote Hebrews, Paul's saying, Christian, you should forego the pleasure of sin for the sake of running a good spiritual race. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? We know we're meant to flee from sin, but far too often it's easy. We're running in the Christian race and we think, I'm not going so well. I'm slowing down. I don't feel like I'm running a good Christian race. And we're kind of scratching our head about why, and we don't even register that the sin in our life might have something to do with it. And we think, I don't know why I'm not close to the Lord. Sure, I robbed a bank last week. I don't think that's got anything to do with it. It's just something wrong with my race. And it's scary how easily we do this. We know there's something we've got to deal with in our life. We don't. And it affects the way that we run. Sin does slow us down. It cripples us. It stops us moving forward. And that's why we need to deal with it quickly so that we can run well. So just like an athlete can't indulge in things that are bad, so too a spiritual athlete can't indulge in things that are bad. They cannot indulge in sin. It's always going to affect the race. That's obvious. Less obviously is the other part of this verse here, and that is those neutral things that are morally good. Athletes have to stop and consider a whole range of neutral things and think, will this help me run a good race? That big plate of donuts, that's obviously bad, but what about my watch? What about my jewelry? What about my long hair? What about my sunglasses? They're neutral things, but are they going to help me in this race, or are they going to hinder me in this race? And this distinction's here in Hebrews 12:1. We're told here, let us also lay aside every weight. That's one thing, but also let us lay aside the sin. So there's a distinction between every weight and between sin. We've already talked about sin, but what weights are there in our lives that are making us run a less than wonderful race? It's easy to stuff the pockets of our lives full of things that are good things. They're not bad, but they do slow us down from running the race that we should be running. And we think, well, if God doesn't forbid it, then I can do it. We say, if it's not sinful, then I'm allowed to do it. I'm allowed to have it. If it's not sin, it's okay. What's Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10:23? He says there, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Okay, it might not be sin, but it still might weigh you down in running a good race. It might make you run a poor race. I was reading a blog this week, and the writer of the blog was reviewing a book written by the founders of Nike. It was called Shoe Dog. And it talks in that book about how the founders of Nike were obsessed with making the lightest shoe that had ever been made. And they did the maths, and they worked out that every ounce they sliced off a pair of shoes translated to 55 pounds less carried over the course of a mile. Quote, lightness, they believed, directly translated to less burden, which meant more energy, which meant more speed, and speed equaled winning. End quote. And so the founders of Nike and the writer of Hebrews, they're in agreement. They're both saying less weight helps you run a better race. And so we've all got to ask ourselves, is there any unnecessary weight that I'm carrying in my life? It's a personal question. Only I can answer that. What's stopping me from running the best race that I can run? Is it my sport? Is it my hobby? Is it my friends? Is it my Xbox? Is it my TV? Is it my car? Is it my... You fill in the blank. What have you filled up the pockets of your life with that are causing you to run a less effective race than you could otherwise run? Paul's saying, look for those things, find those things, and then offload whatever things you can so that you can run a good race. And oftentimes it's just a matter of simply uncluttering our lives, isn't it? So that we've got more time to read and pray and grow and fellowship and serve and do those things. So the challenge is, let's not just unthinkingly embrace everything that's not bad, that's not sin, and say it must be fine. Self-control says that we actually sort out the things that are going to help us run that race. And that's a cost, isn't it? It's a cost to say no to things. It's a cost to moderate things. It's a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice that spiritual athletes are called to make. It's not just about the cost, though, is it? It's not just about saying no to this, no to this, no to this. It talks about saying yes to a whole lot of good old-fashioned hard work. Look at verse 27. Paul says, this is back in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He's not saying he can lose his salvation. You can't do that. He's just using the same athletic language, and he's saying, I don't want to tell you to run a good race and then run a bad race myself. And he says, because of that, I discipline my body. And just like physical athletes, they live really disciplined lives so they can run the best race possible. Paul says, Christian, you do that. Discipline yourself so that you can run well. Think about athletes for a minute. They train just the right amount each day, and they sleep just the right amount each day. And they eat just the right amount each day. And on some days they focus on building muscle. Other days they focus on flexibility. Other days they focus on speed. It's all mapped out. It's all regimented so that they can perform at a peak level. And Paul says, Christian, you need to do what you got to do so that you can perform at a peak level. You need to work prayer into your daily routine. You need to program in regular Bible study. You need to make sure that you factor in fellowship with other Christians, because you need that. Use the Lord's day wisely so that you are refreshed, etc., etc., etc. Do what you need to do, Christian, so that you can perform at your very best. And just like a physical athlete, they're never going to run a good race without discipline. Paul says, you're never going to run a good Christian race unless you live a disciplined life. Work out what you need to do to run well, and then resolve to do that. And that's costly again, isn't it? It costs you something to live a disciplined life. But it's what we've got to do if we want to run well. So there's a couple of things. There's a race to run, there's a cost to pay. Finally, we see that there is a prize to win. In verse 25, Paul he's been talking about athletes being self-controlled in all things, and he goes on and says, they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So an athlete, they get up in the morning, they work hard, they eat right, they do all these things because they want to win the prize. That's the first and foremost thing in their minds. They're after that wreath, after that medal. That's what keeps them going through the pain, through the sacrifice, through all the hurting muscles. And in lots of ways, that's commendable. It's a good thing that people are able to push themselves to achieve. But notice what Paul calls it here. He says, they do it all of that for a perishable wreath. They do it for a prize that eventually just fades away. Gold medals, admittedly, they last a little bit longer. Back then, a wreath, you had to really enjoy that while you had it, because it was going to fall apart and fade away really, really quickly. But even gold, silver, bronze, you can't take them to heaven with you, can you? They're perishable achievements. And Paul says, athletes, they go through the ringer to get a perishable prize. Christian, you've got something that's imperishable. You've got something that lasts forever. And we might think, but the athletes, they get glory, they get honor, they get fame. Even after they've achieved what they've achieved, that their glory lives on. But no, think about what happened to Oscar Swan and Johnny Hayes. You meant to look at me blankly. That's the point. They were famous in 1908. They won gold medals. They did great things. They were revered, respected, honored 100 years ago. Now, the only person who knows who they are is Wikipedia. No one else knows. But the Christian race is different. There's a prize to be won that is eternal. It's imperishable. And Paul's trying to give us the incentive we need to run and to train and to push ourselves even when it hurts. And we've got to be careful here again. Paul is not saying, please don't take this home, that Paul is not saying we run hard to get to heaven. He's not talking about how we earn our salvation, not for a minute. Paul is a Christian. He's writing to Christians and he's saying, run hard for the glory of God. And he's saying, just keep your eyes on the prize that is yours. And all the sacrifice, all the time, all the money, all the effort is absolutely worth it for that sacrifice. If an athlete can put themselves through all that to get something that fades away, you should be willing to put yourself through all that and a whole lot more to achieve something that is imperishable, which is yours through Christ. Now, athletes, what do they look forward to? They look forward to the wreath. They look forward to a member of the IOC saying, well done, good race. We look forward to something infinitely better, don't we? We look forward to our Lord and our Master saying, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the commendation we want. That's huge incentive to run well. And so the challenge for us is to make sure that we're not focused on all the hardships, all the difficulties, all the hard yakka of being a Christian. It's to get our eyes on this prize. If an athlete only focused on his sore muscles and his lack of sleep and his broccoli and tuna or whatever he's eating, he would throw the towel in really quickly. He would. But when he's focused on the reward, on the prize, he can keep on keeping on. This is what we read before in Hebrews 12. It said, let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. That's the prize there. We're to run looking to Jesus, not looking at what's tough in the Christian race and focusing on that all the time, but looking to Jesus, focusing on him. And when we forget that, we do a Peter, don't we? We start to sink. We see the waves and we sink. But we've got to look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's our prize. He's our hope. He's not just the prize though, is he? In the next verse it says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus suffered incredibly. His race on earth was difficult. And we're told here that he did that, endured that, by focusing on the joy that was set before him. So just like we run with our eyes looking to Jesus, Jesus was running with his eyes on the glory set before him, returning to the Father, being with him in glory. And so Jesus, he is our example in how to run the race, and he's the reward at the finish line of that race. We've got to keep our eyes on him every step of the way. So what happens when we're focused on the prize, when we got our eyes on the right things? Well, Paul says this about himself in verse 26. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. And so his focus on the crown, on the prize, that gave him a whole lot of perspective and purpose as he lived his life. He says, I didn't get out on the track and just run somewhere and just go somewhere and do something. I got a purpose. I know exactly where I'm heading and I do that. He changes analogies to a boxer. He says, I don't box as one beating the air. I'm not some drunken pub brawler just swinging punches, hoping they connect. I actually know what I'm doing. I'm a guy on a mission. I've got my eyes on the prize and I know where I'm going. I know what I'm trying to achieve. And he's saying there's a purpose to everything I do. There's a purpose to my life. I'm a spiritual athlete and I know where I'm going. He's not running to earn his salvation. He's running because of his salvation. He's a guy who knows where he's going. So in closing, let me ask a couple of questions. Firstly, are you in this race? If you're not yet a Christian, you're not running to try and earn your way to heaven. That's not what Paul is saying. If you're not a Christian, you're not in the race yet. And you get in the race by trusting Jesus, repenting of your sins. That's how you get in the race. But then if you are a Christian, if you are in the race, are you actually running hard in this race? Are you an athlete or are you a Sunday afternoon stroller? It's a good question to go home thinking about. That's what God's calling us to be. He's calling us to be spiritual athletes, living lives with purpose. Let me leave you with a quote I read from D.L. Moody last week. He said, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter." Just think about that. What is it that drives you day by day? Where is your life all heading? What are you running hard after? Are you succeeding at some things? Good. Are you succeeding at the right thing, at the best thing? My prayer is that we all succeed in running the Christian race. That's the most important thing of all. How about we pray? Father God, thank you so much for this great analogy that you've given us. Lord, we all see athletes training and competing so we can readily understand what you're telling us to be. But Father, it's one thing to understand what you want us to be. It's another thing to actually do it. And so we ask for your help to run this race well. Please help us to remember we can't run in our own strength. And please help us to remember to keep our eyes up, our eyes on you, day by day as we live our lives. And Father, help us to encourage one another as we run this race too, and spur one another on to pick up speed and to keep on keeping on when the going gets tough. So Lord, thank you for the prize that is ours through your Son. Thank you that we get to spend eternity with you in glory, eternal happiness, no more tears, no more pain. It's a wonderful prize. Help us to keep our eyes on that day by day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.